Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for this time and opportunity that you have given us a church to come together online and in church and worship you together with all the angels in heaven and all the saints in this world. You are praised by all the saints around the world and in heaven, Lord, and along with them you gave us the privilege as your children to gather and worship together, Lord. We marvel at your majesty and power, and we also thank you and are grateful for the grace that you have shown to us. And by the way in which you send your Son Jesus Christ to die for us so we could become your children, so we can call you Father. Thank you for your protection and care, and always giving us the good gifts that we, even when we don't deserve them. We come before you today as your people. We thank you for your grace and redemption through your Son Jesus Christ, who came to this world so that we can be a witness to this world for Jesus Christ, to shine the light for your kingdom. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, eternal and ever living, almighty and worthy of all honor and glory. May the services of word and praise we offer today bring honor and glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
It's our greeting time now. We can unmute everybody and say hi to each other, and also say hi to each other in church here. Good morning. Hi everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good
morning everyone.
Love and miss everybody.
We miss you too.
Let's remember that July 4th was the birthday of the greatest country in the world.
Woo-hoo! Absolutely. Okay, great. My mother had a birthday last week.
Yeah, yesterday.
My mom is turning 91.
Wow.
And she's getting back up and walking, which is really a miracle after her fall. So thank God for that. Anyone else online to call out anyone? To remember anybody's birthday or anniversaries? If not, let us pray. Take a moment to thank God for the blessings that God gives us in our lives. Lord, our God, we thank you for your gifts of love and life, family and friends. God, you help us to understand that in Jesus Christ, you have given us more than we could ever deserve. We pray for those who celebrate the anniversaries and birthdays this month. We thank you for a new year in their lives. With the passing of time, you have increased and deepened their love towards you and for others. We give you thanks for your past blessings, and we pray for your continual mercies upon them, O God. Renew your blessings upon them that we will enjoy many more happy years with them. Cover them with your love, comfort them with your joyful presence, confirm them in their hope. May your Holy Spirit strengthen them in faith and fill them with love and service for you and for others. Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now we have an anthem. The choir will be singing.
Thank you.
So great to have Jack back on bass on that song.
The responsive reading is Psalm 16, 5 to 11.
Okay, this is Psalm 16, 5 through 11. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It's a time for our prayer time, that we come together as a church and share our prayers of blessings together and thank God for the numerous blessings that God showers upon us. And also we lift up our burdens and concerns together as a church family to the throne of grace of God, that God will answer our prayers according to His time and His will. It is His promise that He will act according to His purpose. So let us share our prayers of blessings and thank God for all those, and also lift up our prayers of burdens and concerns at this time. The prayer requests are posted on screen, as well as you can follow that on the back of the bulletin. Please use this as a list for regular prayers. Post it on your refrigerator or your study desk and use this and pray for these people and items on a regular basis. We are glad that Martha and Jack have joined us together. Thank you for the continued healing. We will continue to pray for you and be strong. Do you have anything else to share, Martha or Jack?
Yes, I do. I have two prayer requests. One is Wayne and Carol Clemens, who are on our prayer request. Wayne will have surgery August the 12th, and they're very hopeful that the surgery will do the trick and that he won't have to have chemo. So that's a blessing and a prayer request. And then I have surgery coming up this Friday, July 31st. This will be my cancer surgery, and hopefully after this, I'm praying that I will be cancer-free. So thank y'all for all your prayers, and
okay,
this will be a blessing.
We will continue to hold you up in our prayers. And I know Harry has his surgery and a successful surgery. He's back home recuperating now. How are you, Harry? Do you want to share?
I'm good.
Okay.
We got a. We have to thank God and thank you all out there for your prayers, because it looks like he's going to be able to walk comfortably for the first time in quite a while.
Okay. Thank God for that.
And also thank you for the prayers for Kenzie and April, my daughter-in-law and her little girl, who have COVID, but they are not somebody's sick.
Okay. Good to hear that. God will keep you safe. We'll pray for that as well. Anyone else has anything special to call out?
I do, Pastor. I'd like to remember Dr. Cecily Pratt. P-R-A-T-T. She's one of the physicians that I work with. She has COVID and is quarantined.
Okay.
I don't work with her directly, but...
Let us continue to pray for our frontline workers who are fighting at the front line with this COVID disease, the healthcare professionals and doctors and nurses and other people who are working. Also, let us lift up our leadership of our country, President, Vice President, Cabinet members, and Congress and senators. And all the governors of the state who have made difficult decisions about opening the economy and various things that are going around the country, let us lift them up in our prayers and remember them regularly in our prayers.
Pray that there's an end to the protests and violence and rioting.
Pray for peace in this country, to have an end to this, all the rioting that are happening around the country, that God's Spirit will guide us as a nation. I haven't heard from Bob or Kathy today. Are you on? Or anybody heard from them? Let us.
Kathy's on.
Kathy, can you hear us? How are you doing?
We're doing well. How are y'all?
All right. We can see you now. Are you, Bob, doing okay? All right. Thank you. And Dean Casey and Barbara Casey, we need to keep them in our prayers, and also their granddaughter Peyton Casey. He has requested special prayers for her. Anyone else has anything to call out, a special request? Okay, Mark. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this time together as a church family to come together and share our prayers of blessings as well as our concerns and burdens together. Thank you, God, for the life that you have given us in this world as a gift, along with all its joys and blessings. Thank you for covering us with your love and protection, even when we are not aware of it, Lord. We come to you to thank you gratefully with our hearts for all the blessings that you have given us in our lives. We also look up to you for our needs. You are the source of all good things, and you only desire good for us. We come before you as broken people, God, and some of us are weary and some of us are tired, and many of us are weak in our bodies. But you are the source of strength, and you are the source of true healing, and you are the one who can make us whole. Lord, as we read in your word, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. When we are lonely, you are our friend, O God. When we go through life's sorrows and loss, you give us comfort and peace. Thank you for always being there listening to our prayers. Particularly, we lift up those who that we have remembered by name today. We pray for Wayne and Martha, who have been preparing for their surgeries. We pray that you will heal them, Lord, and touch them with your healing hand. so that they can have a successful surgery. Above all, we pray for wisdom and guidance for the Holy Spirit for the doctors and nurses who care for them. We pray that your peace will fill their hearts and minds and also comfort them with your presence and their dear ones. We pray for Oscar, who is diagnosed with COVID, as well as Harry's daughter-in-law. We pray that you will heal them and that they will contain the disease and protect them safely, Lord. We pray for an end to this pandemic that we are facing at this time. And we know that you have a plan that will be always good for us at the end. We also pray for Dr. Cecil Pratt, who is also diagnosed with COVID. Bless them in her work, bless her in her work, as well as all the people who are working with her to be safe. We pray for your blessing and peace for Ernest Harbour. We pray that your special blessing be upon him and his family, that your peace will pass, that passeth all understanding, will rule their hearts and minds at this time. We especially pray for our nation. As we come before you, we need your guidance and the Holy Spirit to give us the wisdom to look forward, that we can live peacefully without the riotings and protests that we are having now. We pray that you'll bring all of this end to an end. We pray for the national leadership of our country, particularly our president and vice president, and all the governors of the state who have to make difficult decisions along with all the riots that are happening. We pray that you will give them the wisdom and the strength and the courage of mind to make the right decisions and to enforce them, Lord. We pray that you will be with them and guide them, and also us as a nation. We pray for all those who are fighting in the front lines of the healthcare field, our doctors and nurses and technicians. We pray and thank you for their services at this time, and also for those, our delivery workers and grocery store workers, and those who are working behind the scenes to support us. Thank you for their services. We pray for their safety and their family's safety. We thank you for the service that you have given us to this church, that we can come together and gather in your name, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be your witnesses in the days to come, so that we can do faithfully to spread your love in this world. We pray that your name will be lifted up in our service today, in our singing of songs and our meditation of the word and the prayers and the offering that we place today. Bring honor and glory to your name, and also blessing to your people. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As the choir will sing the song, it is offertory now. Please mail your checks to that address, and the ushers will come and take the offertory here. Thank you. Let us pray. Loving God, we know that it is from your hand that we have received all that we have and all that we are. You are the source of all the blessings that we enjoy in our lives. Help us, Lord, to understand that in Jesus Christ, you have given us more than we could ever deserve. Lord, we offer ourselves at this time and also bring a portion of what you have given us as our tithes and offerings. Help us, Lord, to find joy as we freely give our prayers and presents and our gifts and service to support this ministry. We ask you to accept this offering of your people. We thank you for those who were able to give joyfully and also pray for those who could not give today. Remember all of them in your love. Bless and help us to use this offering to share your love to this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The scripture reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. The whole family will be reading.
You can take that out. Well, that was practice. Okay. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you.
I will make your nation into a great nation. I will make your name great, and I will bless you. Will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and over whoever curses you, I will curse. And peoples on earth, I will be a blessing through you."
So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Word of God for people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the word that you have given us today. As we come before your word, help us, Lord, to be humble before your word and obedient in spirit, so that whatever you teach us and ask us to do, help us to do that in our lives, so that we can become an experience of life and power, not only in our lives but also to this world through our lives. As we come before your word, humble our hearts and illumine our souls, that we can understand the deeper mysteries of your word. As we meditate from your word, your Holy Spirit will bless us with abundance of life. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be accepted in your sight, O Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So today we read from the book of Genesis about the call of Abram, where God called Abram from a very unknown and remote area and asked him to take a journey and asked him to leave his family and his surroundings and his comfort zones and go on a journey to a place where God is going to show him. And he obeyed without knowing where he was going. So that is a blessing that we read in the life of the faithful heroes starting with Abraham. And we were, in the last few Sundays, we were meditating on the book of Genesis, right from the creation. And we saw that God had created everything beautiful. And man messed it up. And then we started to have all the problems that we saw that afterwards. Sin came, and then Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden and lost the fellowship with God. But God clothed them with the skin of a lamb or an animal that shows the righteousness of God that God will give us to wear on through the Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on cross. So the sacrifice that happened in Garden of Eden, an animal was killed to clothe them, is a sign of the sacrifice of Christ, who gave us the robe of righteousness to wear. Even when we are sinful, God make us righteous. And then after that we saw the fruit of sin. In the Garden of Eden, the root of sin is disobedience and cut off relationship with God. And the fruit of sin that we see in the next generation of Cain and Abel. And Cain killed Abel, his younger brother. And we read that also as that is a sign of the righteous Son of God who will be killed later on in history. And then we also talked about the flood during the time of Noah. After Cain and Abel and all those children of Adam and Eve and their generations multiplied in this world, there was evil that flourished along with it. People became evil and started hating each other. So there was going to be something that will destroy them anyway because of their hatred and evil that was flourishing. God decided to intervene and the big flood came. And by the grace of God, humanity was saved and continued through 8 people, Noah and his family. And we saw that also, the Ark of the Covenant, Ark of Noah, that God redeemed humanity after that. And then again people multiplied, and we saw the Tower of Babel, or Babel as we will say, and it is Babel, or I say Babel, but it's Tower of Babel, and that is where then multiple languages came into being. And they had only one language and they were able to understand each other. And they were united together. And they built a huge tower. They built literally a tower. At the same time, it's symbolic that when we are together as human beings, we pride ourselves that we can together do a lot of things. And they wanted to build a big tower that went up to heaven. And they would stand united together. And then evil started flourishing up, and God knew that this is going to destroy them anyway. So God again intervened, and because of God's grace, they were dispersed. And multiple languages came along, even though they could not understand that between each other. During Pentecost, all of those multiple languages and races and people from different countries gathered together, and the Holy Spirit united them again. Even with the multiple languages, they were able to understand each other. That's why we are here today, again because of God's grace, with multiple languages, looking different, and speaking different languages and coming from different backgrounds and cultures. We are one in Christ. That Holy Spirit has joined us together. It is all because of the grace of God. So throughout history, from right from the creation of this world, and we only see God's grace and faithfulness continuing with us, that follows us even when we are not aware of it. God has a plan for all of us that He will continue with His plan of grace, and He will guide us. And then came Abram. God called a person from nowhere, and he had nothing to actually boast of as a family of anything of heritage, but he was from an unknown village somewhere in a Gentile world. God called Abram, and his name was Abram, and his wife's name was Sarai. That's what we read today. And then God called them and asked them to take a journey to an unknown land, a land that he was going to show them. And they decided to follow God's command. And then God told them and gave them a promise that we just read today, that I am going to make a great nation out of you. And I am going to make your name great. In the Tower of Babel, when they built that tower, they built it to get to heaven, to reach heaven with a high tower. At the same time, we read that, let us make a name. And then the tower of that they built for fame and name became a tower of shame that was never ever completed. It still stands as a monument of shame for all of us to remember how human efforts will fail without God. And here God says to Abraham, it is not that you make your name great, but I am going to give you a name, and I will make your name great. God is the one who gives us a name, not ourselves. Many of us are born, our parents, when we are born, our parents decide what name we take on. We rarely have much choice in it, even though lately we can change our names. I was talking about our tradition, our culture back in India where I was born. During our time, like 50, 60 years ago, when children were born, they were not named right at the hospital or where they were born. It was the religious function, even Hindus or Christians, they will wait for a couple of months to gather together. In the Christians' case, during baptism, that's when they name the children. And for the Hindus and others, they have some kind of a function or a ritual that they do to name the baby. It will take about 2 to 3 months or even 6 months sometimes to do that. And until that time, from the birth of that child to that ritual or that ceremony of naming, in our case it is baptism time, the baby does not have a name or did not have a name. So we don't call any name for that baby, so people will start addressing the baby like sweet baby or just baby or cute baby, and some of those names get stuck. And that's why you see some of the Indian people have baby as their name. Even though they are 60 years old, people call them by baby. So there is a stage in our lives in those days, but all of that has changed now. They are required to make a name before they leave the hospital or wherever they are. But God plants a name for each of us, even though we are known by many names that we took over from our parents or our dear ones who gave us the name. God already has a name planned for you and me. A name that you and I are asked to recognize when we accept God in our lives or Jesus Christ in our lives as our personal Savior. The names may come with, many of us have names that come with stories behind it. We have a story to tell. And Sarah and Abraham, they have a story to tell about their names because God changed their names from Abram to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah as they accepted the call to take on that journey. When we accept to take on the journey of faith, God gives us a goal and a destination and a new name. Everyone who is in Christ is a new creation. That's what Paul says in his letter. We become a new creation and also we become a new name. And the name that God gives us is children of God. We are all children of God because God calls us through his son Jesus Christ and made us the children of God, and that is the story that we all have to tell others about. I saw a t-shirt lately that said American by birth, Southern by the grace of God. And I thought about it and said, what a great statement that is. But for us Christians, if we could say that Southerner and American by birth, but child of God by the grace of God, if we could say that, It is all because of the grace of God. Many of the biblical names have many meanings behind them. As we know, the name Jesus is referred to as the Savior. And it was already prophesied in many prophecies about Jesus. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All of these are names that were given to Jesus Christ that we read in the Bible. And then the name that matters, as we saw how names like Christians and Methodists actually got their names from. That's the names that were stuck with us, that was given to us by the world. Even though Christians were not named by us, by ourselves, but the world called them Christians. In Antioch, the first time we read in Acts, that they were called Christians. And Methodists also is a name that got stuck with us. Even though later on history, we know that these are all people who have turned things upside down, and we are all gathering together as Christians and Methodists in this church. So these are all names that God made it great, even though we didn't choose it. And that's the same thing happened with Abraham and Sarah as they followed the journey and make them a great nation and make their names great. After the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, God's grace was evident in covering people all along the journey that they took. In this part of the story of Abraham, God's grace showed and acted to establish a relationship. When God gives a new name, it is not just to identify yourself, but also it is a sign of a relationship with a man to bless the whole people on this earth. He called Abram a Hebrew. His Hebrew is actually a name that started because Abram decided to live in Hebron, a city of Hebron. That's how the name Hebrew came out. Even though the term Jew was not even there at that time. It came later on, afterwards, through Jacob, who was given a name called Israel. So all of this history that we see are God giving people new names with a relationship that God wants to build. That is what God wants to do with our lives, and when He calls us on the journey of faith and giving us a new purpose in our lives and a new name, that He is building a new relationship. And it is all because of God's initiative and God's grace and His faithfulness. And when Abram responded to God's goodness with faith and obedience, his name changed, his life changed, and the history of the world changed afterwards. I don't want to go into the history of how the Jews got that name. You can read it up online, how the people of Jewish origin actually got their name, actually very later on afterwards. But Abram's name is revered in the main three religions of this world. In Judaism, Abraham is called their father. And we read in Genesis chapter 17, 5, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. And I have made you the father of multitude of nations. And the Jews also follow and believe that. In Christianity, when we read to come into the letter to the Galatians, Paul says that if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants. And you are heirs according to the promise given to Abraham. So we are all descendants of Abraham through Christ. So Christianity accepts him as our father as Christians. And in Islam also, we read that in Quran, Allah speaks the truth. And then says that you, O people, follow the religion of Abraham, who is the upright. So may the religions of the world, the Judaic, Christian and Islam religions consider and revere the name of Abraham as their father of all. God made the name of Abraham famous throughout the earth. Through Jesus Christ, a descendant of Abraham, And through the tribe of Judah, we are all come together as the descendants of Abraham. And also, not only a relationship, but also God gave that name to Abraham and initiated a covenant. If you take on this journey with me, I am going to make you a great nation. That was a covenant that God made with Abraham. Our names are also a sign of a covenant that God makes with us. And in Isaiah chapter 43, we read that, "Do not fear, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name and you are mine." And when God gives us that name for that journey that we are going to take, along with the new name that we take on, it is a claim that God makes on you and me. And that's what the prophet says, "I have called you by name, you are mine." We become God's children and God's property. And also he promises that he will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt, and the flames will not set you ablaze. So it comes with not only a relationship, but also a covenant to protect us and to keep us through the times of trials and tribulations that we have to go through. Just like many of us have stories behind our names, we have a story to tell to this world, that God has made us children of God, given us this new name as children of God, because he made us a relationship. Even when we were in sin and trespasses, God sent his Son to die for us so that we can be restored and redeemed and become children of God. Abraham became Abraham. Jacob was called and he was given a new name called Israel. Simon became Peter. And we know that Saul became Paul. All of these are all relationships and covenants that God has built with people during the times in lives and made them a great name. Even now we can see them as standing in the history. In Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, we read that Peter is writing that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. That is the purpose of calling and giving us this new name. Out of darkness he called us so that we can become the light to lighten this world in times of darkness. I read this news piece recently that in a London zoo, they actually, along with all the animals, considering humans are also animals, they have a cage for humans. So there are volunteers who will actually go in there and sit along with the animal cages next to there, because if you go, the monkey and the lion and the tiger then become human. So you can watch these humans are doing. And the point that they are saying is that we are part of the animal kingdom and we are not anything special. And I was really curious about it. To put a man in a zoo just because they want to identify us with an animal, how terrible that we have become. But this is for them to help us, the visitors, to understand that humans are not anything special. But that is not how the scripture teaches us. We are a special creation. It is not like the animals or the plants. We were created in the image of God. Out of the dust we came, and God created with his hands and gave his spirit in us. He breathed life into us. So we have the power of reasoning. We can plan on things. Unlike animals, we can do a lot of other things logically that animals can't do. And we are a special group of people and not just one of those cages to be shut up with the animals. David began writing about the creation of himself. When he looked at in Psalm 39, he says that God not only formed the intricacies of our lives, he also made us as a living soul, giving spiritual life and ability to relate with them. So God gives us the power to have a relationship with God unlike any other animals. Human beings are special. We are created uniquely. And God gives us a name uniquely, and each of us is special to God. No matter how many billions of people lived in this world, and we will, and how many billions will come after us. Each man, each woman is special to God in His plan. And we are all uniquely made. We are not some kind of a animal or a pet. Because we can be recognized and also be in relationship with God. And we know we can name animals, right? We name our dogs, our cats. But some of them respond when we call their names. But can you tell another dog about your name, dog's name, and have him recognize him? Probably not. If you have a dog by name Cappy or something, and tell the neighbor's dog, and there is Cappy in my house, the dog doesn't know the difference. But that's not how we are. We are uniquely made, and we have unique names, and God's plan is very special for each of us. Even with husband and wife, parent and children, each of our life has a different purpose and a goal that God has set. And God gives us that purpose when we accept that calling. We are all unique in front of God, and we take to always to remember that we are special in front of God. I don't know if I told the story about the Taylor University in Indiana. The students and staff members were coming back from a trip in a college van. It was in 2006. You probably remember that reading in the news. Some of you probably remember that. A truck hit them head on, and four students and one staff member died instantly in that accident. There were funerals held for the people who died and mourned their losses. And there was one girl who survived called Laura Van Ryn. Though she was seriously injured, and she was in a coma and was badly, badly disfigured. The Van Ryn family rushed to the hospital, and the entire family kept watch over day and night during her days in the hospital. As the days went by, Laura opened her eyes and gradually began to speak. The family became excited, and they leaped for joy for every new day and every new movement that Laura makes, and they were excited and very happy for her recovery. But all of a sudden, some doubts began to pop up in their minds because of her responses. They thought that it was about because of the damage that was done to her brain. She could not remember a lot of things clearly, but there was some confusion because whenever they called her name by Laura, she would shake her head and say, "No, I am Whitney." She tries to say that. Oddly enough, there was a Whitney in that car, but she was immediately killed, and her family buried her. Nothing made sense. Why would she insist on being Whitney and not Laura? But when they studied the dental records, they uncovered a huge mistake. Someone at the scene falsely identified the only survivor as Laura. In fact, that Laura was dead. And the young woman recovering was not Laura, but it was Whitney Clark. The rehab center was notified, and that they made a mistake, and the authorities exhumed the body of the girl that was buried and did DNA test, and really found out that it was that of Laura who died, and Whitney was alive. Imagine the trauma that the family had to go through this time. A family that thought their daughter was dead found out that she was actually alive. While a family that has rejoiced the survival of their daughter now discovers that she had died. And in an odd way, Whitney will have the privilege of hearing her own obituaries that people have said in her funeral. Anyway, apologies and explanations came from all over, and in fact, the coroner who did out of all of this, out of embarrassment, he resigned, and it was a big news at that time. But this traumatized the entire community, and when you read that story, it traumatizes us too. Why would it traumatize us? It is because our identity is so important. It is a deep-seated bond to those we love and know and represent. And it is a deep-seated relationship that we have between each other and with God. God uniquely made us as individuals and gave us a name because we are all special to God. In Galatians we read, we are no longer slaves, but we are God's children. And sometimes we forget these things, that we are special in God's children. We may feel that society gives us some kind of a name and value, but God gives us a special name and special value no matter what the world gives us. God is the supreme creator who gives us our life, and also he redeems and sustains us. And he calls us by our name every day, every time, every moment of our lives. We are special to God, and we are so much worth than any of the animals in this world. So let us go together saying that we are special to God, and we have a plan. God has a plan for us in this world to accomplish. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go from this place, so that we can be his witnesses in the days to come. Amen. The closing hymn is hymn number 714, I Know Whom I Have Believed. People of God, go in the knowledge that God has a plan for each of us, uniquely made in His image to fulfill His purpose in this world. To see the worth and help us, let us pray that God will help us to see the worth and dignity in everyone that we meet and to respect each other, remembering that we are all God's beloved children. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.